Anything combat with Johnny K.
But it's anything combat, though.
Welcome back, combatants, to the Anything Combat Show, wherein we discuss everything mixed martial arts. I'm your host, Johnny K, and this is episode 151. We're joined by pro MMA fighter, the Bounty Hunter. He's the main event of Brave Combat Federation 81. Please welcome to the show, Erko Jun. How are you, Erko?
Hey, Johnny. Nice to meet you, man. I'm fine. Thanks. How are you?
I'm good. A whole bunch of people saying that I'm Greek. They told me that Greece was not part of the Balkans.
Oh, really? Yeah, well, Balkans, it could be. Actually, it is a part. It is a part. You know, we have similar music and we have similar traditions. So it is. But some people from the Balkan area are like really making it complicated with everything.
Patriotic?
Patriotic, yeah, for sure.
Tell me, do you feel like you've inspired the next wave of Bosnian fighters?
I probably did. And in one way, it's also one of my biggest motivations is to do this with my Bosnian flag and to make my people proud, you know, because we are such a small country and we've been through a lot because of the war and everything. And we are all over the world, you know. A lot of Bosnians had to flee because of the war. So in one way, it's also satisfying if I hear the comeback from, let's say, the Bosnian people. They're proud of me and everything. So it's a big motivation.
I heard from an African gentleman. He told me that Bosnian coffee was on another level. Is that true?
It's like more than any hardcore pre-workout, you know. it's really strong. It's really strong. I would not recommend it to drink it after 5 p.m. Really, no sleep.
I'll tell you something, Erko. So what I found, which was funny, was that we share a friend. Do you know who it is?
Who?
From it's Australia? Pavel Trusov.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So Pavel comes on the show. Pavel's a gun. He's invited me to go training with him up at, I think he's in Slovakia right now. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
So I'm going to go do some training with him in the future at one point. But how'd you get affiliated with my guy, Pavel?
Yeah, it was also like, we texted each other on Instagram. He was coming to the area here to Netherlands. And eventually we met here in Belgium. We did some videos together and stuff like that. But he's a really cool guy and he's doing amazing work with his social media. Really good.
Tell me about your opponent for Brave 81. What do you think about his style? What do you think about his skills? And how do you think you match up against him?
I think it's a good, let's say, a good step for me, a good challenge. The guy is an experienced fighter. He has a good record. He fought some good guys. He's not that technical, like you would say, but let's say, honestly, light heavyweights or heavyweights aren't always that technical, you know? So it's not like the middleweights or the welterweights. But he's strong. He's strong. He's also a more a brawler style. He likes to go to the cage and wrestle and try to control the opponent. For me, it's really like I'm happy to have him as a opponent, also to challenge myself and to get there where I want. You know, I have the belt in my eyes. I mean, it's in my mind, it's in my eyes, it's everywhere. I'm focused on that, and he's just a step to the belt. Let's say he's you understand what I mean. Like,
of course. Can you tell me about the belt? What would that mean to you for that achievement?
For me, it would be like something that's on my bucket list, you know, and it would be something, a big achievement for me. Why? Because Brave is a big organization. It's a good organization with really good fighters. And coming from my background, where I come from totally a different sport. I've been competing in bodybuilding and fitness, and I wasn't doing any MMA until 5 years ago, you know. So coming in this fight world, doing MMA, achieving, like winning all my fights by finishes, now coming to this step, fighting Said, and then eventually going for the belt, it will be something, really special for me, achievement, but also to show the people like that you can do anything what you're willing for. Even though, doesn't matter where you come from, what sport you're doing, the body adapts. The most difficult part is willing, like willing to do it. Because I had my down moments where I thought like, oh, come on, maybe this is nothing for me, or especially the first year getting beat up in the gym, come back from sparring, broken noses, broken ears. And then again, coming back. So it's also the willing. But maybe a small percentage of something in the, not every fight there is 100%, you know what I mean? You gotta love this sport, otherwise it's too crazy to do it.
Are you happy that if you achieve that goal, that you'll be the first person to ever do that, if, coming from your bodybuilding background?
I have never thought about it like that, because I'm more like personal. I see it like a personal goal, but now that you're saying this, that's also a big thing, not only can I showcase that you can come from another sport and do it, but especially like bodybuilder. I didn't check if there are any bodybuilders that ever did the transition, or I know there were rugby players, you guys have Volkanovski, or you have also Brock Lesnar did an amazing job, but he's coming from the wrestling background, so I don't know, man. Would be nice.
So what is that? What's that been like for you, the fast track towards this part of your career? How do you feel like you have increased your skills in such a short amount of time? What's that been like for you? What mentality have you had to employ to gain the skills quickly, seeing that you had the Taekwondo background, you did the kickboxing, and then this MMA sport, you basically came back to martial arts. So what was that like? How did you have to switch your mentality to learn everything?
First, you have to accept criticism, critics from the coaches. First, like that, you have to put your ego aside. And I think also it has to be something in you that I may be lucky that I learn really fast, and that my body adapts and that it stays in my brain and I can do that. And also a big part in general of the fighting industry is using your IQ, your brain. Let me give you a simple example. The easiest way to kill someone on training is, I can do it in 10 minutes, you can kill someone, give them hardcore trainings and data, but this way he will not learn anything, So it's also important to have the right coaches, the right team behind you. And I think if all these combinations is right together, that makes you grow really fast. This is like the main key, having everything together, then you can grow.
Do you think that those people that you had around you that were really beneficial, would you say Soldic was one of those guys for you?
Yeah, for sure. Because of him, I actually came into the MMA world, and he convinced me to fight like 3-4 months later in an MMA in KSW in front of 18,000 people. And he
did you refuse the first time he said it?
No, I was not refusing. I was actually the one that had the idea, because I was at his first fight at KSW when he was fighting for the belt against Mankowski, and I was there and I saw the event and I was like, whoa, man, I want to do this one time in my life. We're talking about the bucket list again. You're thinking, oh, I want to be one time in that cage or in the ring, do a performance. But I would never imagine in my life that I would have my first fight, or let's say first 3-4 fights, in front of plus 10,000 people in the arena, or 15,000 people. So it was kind of stressful when I had to walk out,
You fought for KSW. I know that you enjoyed your time there. Now that you're at Brave, how have you been treated? Are you happy with how you've been treated at Brave Combat Federation?
Yeah, for sure. I like the way Brave is working all over the world with different kinds of organizations. They do a lot of collaborations. Very smart, in my opinion, very smart, because this way you can have fights like the whole year long, Also, how they treat their fighters very respectfully, doing a lot of media, a lot of media, you know. So that's also a good sign. In general, as a fighter, if you have a good connection with your organization, that's only beneficial for you, you know, to be in good. It has to be a win-win situation, you know. So I also appreciate the fact that I'm again fighting a main event, but they also know why they do this, because when I come there, I come to give a show, you know. From the moment I go on the walkout to the time I finish and raise my hand, you know, that's me. And people like that. And eventually, it's the people that pay the tickets, you know. You know what I mean? That's the beginning of it all.
You're always putting on a show. I love your fights. It's always very entertaining. So what would you say is your favorite knockout from your career?
I think my favorite knockout was my last knockout, man. Really, my last knockout in Poland. When I rewatched the video, not only the feeling after the knockout felt really amazing, but when I rewatched the video, it was so technical. And it's so nice to see that me and my striking coach, Roger, we did exactly this, what will happen in the fight, you know, and that it worked like not different, but exactly the same thing. And it worked out, and it was one of my favorite knockouts of all my life. And now I'm talking even not inside the cage, you know, also what happened outside. This was one of my favorite ones.
How often do you go back to Bosnia?
I try to go twice a year, especially after my fights. I go back there. I have family there. Also the people appreciate it when I come there. I love to see the people. And of course, Bosnian food is something you need to try in your life.
Ćevape.
Ćevape, yes.
Ćevape. I slam those. I have like 20 ćevape at a time.
Oh, man, 20?
Because I have Serbian and Bosnian friends.
Oh, really?
Because I'm the Greek side, and because the Serbs have the Yugoslavia type name for me, instead of calling me Jani, they call me Jovan, and instead of calling me Karamidas, they say Karamilovic.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, that's typical. You know, once you are with Balkan friends, or let's say Bosnian, Serbian, you get a nickname, it's automatic. And man, I gotta give you a big shout out. 20 ćevapi is a lot, man. Good job. You know, that's a big portion.
Erko, I do want to ask you, do you feel like you live your passion?
Yes, for sure. I was just talking about this today at the gym with the guys that were training there, because they asked me, you're ready for your fight and everything. We talked about jobs. I asked them, what are you guys doing? And the guys were doing like, one was working in a construction, one was doing something else, but they seemed like they were not happy with their lifestyle. You know, they were just grappling there in the gym. And I told them like, yeah, when you do something you love, it's not really work, you know, and especially making money and this way beating up people and making money, it's, man, some people would not understand, but it's like, yeah, for fighters it's a dream, you know. It is.
What do you think was the hardest change from bodybuilding to MMA for you?
A condition wise, like the muscle, all my body had to adapt for MMA, you know. And first, time, like let's say the first period of time, 1 year, the condition was the biggest change, because as a bodybuilder you do some cardio and you know, but you can't compare it to wrestling, to striking, kickboxing or whatever, you know. It's a big difference. You do cardio for burning fat, you know. You can burn fat at a low heart rate, you don't need to go in red zone and everything, you know. And yeah, but bodybuilding also gave me some good things. It gave me the discipline, and the thing with food, diet, it's like when you're bodybuilding, it's a normal way of life. So now with fighting, I still have that, you know, with the food and everything and supplementation. And that's, I think, for me, a big win from bodybuilding.
A little bit controversial, but I saw that you incorporate a lot of running into your workouts and your routine. Now, I run personally because I enjoy it. And when I spoke to some of the MMA guys, it was Jonathan McAuliffe. He was the Melbourne Hex welterweight champion, and he was telling me that running for him was irrelevant because he would get his cardio from grappling or doing the sport and skill building. So what do you have to say to people that say that running's irrelevant because it's not building a skill?
Honestly, like it depends from athlete to athlete, really. I have some other friends that are really high level fighters, and they say the same thing. You know, they take their condition cardio from the training on the mat. Then again, I have other friends, also high level fighters, that do the running or the cycling. For me, it's first of all, I started this when I moved to this place where I live now. I live like a lot of forests and a lot of nature, so it's so beautiful just to run outside, you know, and have the breath like nature. Then second, I have an air bike upstairs. That's also a part of my cardio, is when I'm having like two cardio sessions a week extra, except from all the trainings I have. And now at the moment it's my blue zone, so this means very low heart rate, just chilling, and you can do it beautifully outside, running and looking at nature, or just putting in a podcast or music while you're running. So I love to do it. It all depends from athlete or from fighter to fighter.
Will you put this podcast on when you're cycling?
Yeah, well, I know everything what I heard, you know, so it's okay for me. But I gotta admit, you had some good questions. Till now, I think for this fight, one of the best questions.
With the blue zone training, do you feel like that's really beneficial? I would have thought, I've spoken to a couple fighters. There was a one championship fighter named Topic, Onjen Topic, and he was telling me that the blue zone, when you're going at a comfortable level, you're increasing your cardio better than if you were to red zone and just go ballistic at all times. So, do you know any of the science behind that?
Yeah, that's exactly the reason why I'm doing like the blue zone cardios now at the moment. Especially for me, you know, cardio is it's the same like if you're weight training. I give you an example. You do weightlifting, your body's changing. You stop for 2 weeks, your body's getting flat. You know, the same with cardio. You need to keep it going, maintain the basic condition. When we are wrestling, when we are striking, when we are sparring, in my opinion, the heart rate always goes to the red zone, or like similar to HIIT training or interval sessions, you know. That's why I like to add my blue zone cardio just extra in the week, just to maintain that condition. When I have no fight, let's say I am off season, then I add my HIIT sessions on the air bike, like a very red zone things. So it all depends. I think also from experience and also knowing your body, you can see what works best for you. This is also very important, because for some fighters, some things don't work like what works for others. Everybody's a little bit different in that. That's my opinion.
Tell me, we were talking about the Bosnian scene. Do you see any fighters that are coming up, maybe the next generation of Bosnian fighters that you've been really impressed with lately?
Well, we have a couple of talents. We have a couple of really good potential fighters. Ahmed Vila is one of them. He's fighting at KSW. He's doing a really good job. Then you had my friend Damir Hadžović. He had a fight in UFC, but eventually it was canceled. In my opinion, we have a lot of potential, a lot of talents. And now these days, it's getting more and more popular, and people are really going behind it, because they see, oh, it look Erko, look this guy, it really works, you know. It's really, we can do something, make something of our lives. And that's why I'm also proud of this, to make the give the motivation to these young guys, you know.
How did you break your hand without knowing about it?
That was in Croatia, while I was on fight camp. I was We did the fight camp with the UFD gym 1 week, and Saturday was the day before I had to leave, and there was like a boxing machine there, and we was walking there, and the guys, they recognized me, and they told me, hey, Erko, come here, come show us how you broke the machine, because I broke one of these machines at a podcast in Croatia, you know, and they asked me, can you do it here? So I punched it one time, two times, but of course it can't break that easily. So, but I wanted to beat the score. Eventually I punched it like 10 times, but my hands started to hurt, you know, and I told my wife, I told